Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No one is more locked in. From Thursday to Monday, no one is more locked into the NFL than First and Pod. Hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Let's go to the NFC. NFC East. So Philly wins the NFC, and they have one of the most interesting off-seasons ahead. Like, normally a team that's that good, it's like, oh, well, there's going to be continuity, and there will be on a lot of levels. But no one's repeated in the NFC East since Philly did it in 2004. It ended up arguably being the best division in football this year, with three teams making the playoffs. Hargrave, free agent. Bradberry, free agent. Gardner Johnson, free agent. Dillard, the tackle, free agent. Is Kelsey going to retire? Are they going to get a Jalen Hurts contract extension done? Two first-round picks. Lot of questions, but a really
Placing two coordinators.
Right, both coordinators become head coaches. Lot of questions, but a lot of talent. And, you know, decent cap space. I think 14th, 15th in the NFL and two first-round picks. So it's not all negatives. And they'll re-sign some of those guys, especially, I think, Bradberry in the secondary. Do you think they are primed to buck that trend and repeat as NFC East champions?
I feel like they're in a much better spot than some teams are, even with the turnover, because there's no team or teams before we get into the free agency and the draft that is positioned to knock them off. You know, I don't feel like what they did last year was a fluke. I don't feel like it was a one-off. I gained a level of respect for the quarterback that I didn't think was possible.
And the coach.
And the coach. Where before the season started with the quarterback, I don't think many people had him ranked as a top 15 quarterback unless it was for fantasy football purposes. And, you know, now he should be looked at as a top 10 guy with what he did this season and in the playoffs, even with the great players around him. So given all that, like, think shit happens. I mean, the Rams were older and they weren't sure. Guys were unsure about coming back, including the head coach. You know, Stafford had the elbow thing right from the beginning of the year that knocked them off. And, you know, they had one of the worst seasons by a defending champ ever. But yeah, I mean, I think Philadelphia, if they win fewer than double digit games next year, something horribly wrong occurred.
I agree with you. I think that the appreciation that everyone has for Howie Roseman makes it feel like he's going to do a good job. And Hurts should be motivated to sign his contract soon. Like, maybe he'll bet on himself. Like, because, like, you, if he wants to play it really aggressive and hardball, he'll wait for Lamar and Burrow and those guys to sign, bet on himself to have another great year, and try to really cash in. But second round pick, those guys are usually motivated to sign deals. And obviously, he's got some injury risk and running quarterback and all that. So I assume that they'll get that deal done. And I assume that they'll hit in the draft. I love the idea of them taking Robinson, the running back from Texas that everyone says is like a Saquon Barkley level prospect, to upgrade from Miles Sanders, just like an embarrassment of riches. And so I assume that they'll hit on both of their first round picks. I assume they'll bring back the guys in the secondary. They had a ton of depth on the D-line, so losing Cox and Hargrave should be fine. And I don't really think that Dallas is that good, and we know the Giants are a fluke and Washington's a dumpster fire. So I just think it's a fascinating team that, I mean, hell, man, Jalen Hurts is probably the best quarterback in the NFC. That's a pretty good way to have stability all of a sudden, even if you lose your coordinators and you lose.
Would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson for the next 5 years? Contracts, throw them out the window. Just the player.
Hurts.
Me too.
Hurts as a passer this year was great. Now, Lamar at that stage was great too, right? Year two. I mean, Hurts is year three, but you know, early on, he had a great passing season. But Hurts, I assume you're saying Hurts on Philly. Like, with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, I don't think Lamar's going to a situation that's going to be even close to as good as that, including Baltimore. And it's going to be at least another year till he really gets expensive. So, yeah, man, I would take Hurts. I would take Hurts. They're an incredible roster and an incredible organization.
Yeah, but I thought both of those rising tides lifted Hurts. I think in a vacuum or individually, he's still not getting enough credit now. You know, one game can define a legacy. I know a lot of the stat people don't like that. But the performance against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, to me, even though Kansas City was a league average defense this year, I thought was the type of game that, you know, exemplifies why he is such an ascending, potentially great player. And say what you will about Lamar Jackson, make whatever excuse you want for him. He's never had a playoff game that has looked anywhere close to that. He had an amazing run against the Titans that was jaw-dropping for a touchdown.
He's got one playoff win, right?
Yeah, it was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Other than that, he hasn't even come close to that.
Yeah.
In a big game. So I'm saying Hurts. And I think they will be very dangerous again next year.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I think they're in a very interesting spot. All right. So Dallas, as we go through the Eastern Division here, would you prioritize offense or defense with their limited resources this offseason? What would you focus on?
Offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. My logic there would be, and this is going to sound funny, I trust the defensive coordinator to get more out of the defense on his own than I do the head coach to get a lot out of the offense on his own. I think it's got to be players and not scheme. So I want to make the my default answer in most of these cases is to say offense. And I just think with Quinn coming back and Parsons there, you build around that and you can fill in holes or spots with just, you know, average guys that you expect the scheme and the coach to get more out of. They're wide receivers. The Cowboys need big upgrades there. They really do. If I were DeAndre Hopkins, that's where I would want to go right now. I would want to go play for the Cowboys. And I think it's a risk worth taking if I'm Dallas because of what the free agent market looks like and because of what the draft looks like. I would expect that the Cowboys will have CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins, and I think they'll have like either Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee or like Zay Flowers in their offense next year. I think they'll add at least two wide receivers.
Man, we never talk about our actual takes on these questions, but you almost like went word for word how I felt about it, man. I mean, you know how I feel about McCarthy and losing Kellen Moore and bringing back Dan Quinn. All of the pressure is on an offense that was top five in the NFL last year to stay there. And in terms of pressure rate, you know, they were also great, obviously, with Lawrence and Parsons. I could see if one of the top corners falls to them, I could see that being a first round pick on defense, but I can't see a defensive lineman. I can't see a linebacker. I can't see a safety. But if the kid from Oregon or Witherspoon from Illinois, like if one of those guys fell, I could see that being like the only scenario.
I don't see those guys falling that far in the draft.
Neither do I. It's a premium position, but like that's the only scenario see them using a first round pick on defense.
I will agree with you, and here's why. I actually have to give Jerry Jones credit for something as a team architect and not a businessman, but as someone that does the drafts. He will make a decision, I think, better than most. If there is just a great talent and he slips in the draft, Jones will take him and just be like, we'll figure it out.
Yep.
He does that repeatedly.
Parsons, which is Speedy Lamb.
Which is exactly what I would do. And that's why I have said there should be like a czar of just, fuck you football people. Like, do you see that this is happening? Take this person. Right. Because the biggest misnomer in football, and every GM says it, we're going to take the best player available. 90% of teams don't do that. They take the best player at the position of need available. Correct. I think Jones and if there's a guy that falls, we'll just say, all right, we don't need CD Lamb, but what the hell? He should have gone 15 spots earlier. He should have gone 3 hours ago in this draft. I like right. that about Jerry Jones.
No, I do too. I do too. Watch Jalen Carter end up on the Cowboys.
Oh boy.
Right?
I could see it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, that would be adding to a strength, obviously, but that's the type of thing that they would do. All right, your New York Giants. They have franchise tagged Saquon and they have signed Daniel Jones, and they objectively overachieved last year. Is it possible? Is there any scenario on the board where they don't regress in the win-loss column this year now that those players are more expensive and it'll be tougher to fill out the roster?
They had a negative point differential last year. I think Dable's really good, but my answer is no.
I agree. I think I can't even imagine the only possible scenario is if Daniel Jones actually is great. Like if Dable really is a quarterback whisperer and Daniel Jones really has a super high ceiling where he can be like an elevator of talent, you know?
Elevated the talent there, which was not much, to 15 touchdown passes last year.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, I think it's 5%. You know, I think the chances of the Giants having a better year next year than last year is probably about 5%.
I agree with what my great friend Greg Giannotti said about the Jones signing the day after it happened. Daniel Jones should be obligated to send at least $1 million to the Vikings defensive coordinator who got fired after that playoff game. Because Giants fans in New York were craving a playoff win at Donatel. Thank you, Spencer. They were looking for January playoff success, and they've been lacking it for so long that they forgot that they went against the worst defense in the league. He had a really good game, and that, I think, justified it even more in the minds of fans there that keeping Jones around long-term was the right thing to do. So I haven't seen the way the deal's structured. I don't know if you have, Danny, where the outs are in it and how much of it is completely guaranteed. But I think the Giants had something happen to them this past year where they take one step forward and two steps back because of the deals they handed out.
I don't have the exact thing in front of me, but I think it's, he's your guy for the next 2 years. You know, the thing is, though, the only thing that doesn't square with that is if we think Dable's awesome and Dable has influence, then Dable signed off on it. Then Dable wants him. Dable wants.
Yeah. Well, before he traded for Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay signed off on a Jared Goff extension. So shit happens. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true. So same question then on the Giants as I asked on the Cowboys. Like, your first round pick, receiver, like do you go offense to try to like triple down on your investment and making your investment in Daniel Jones look smart? Because they got holes everywhere. They're not a very good roster.
You know, I have not. I still have to obviously pour like so much time and energy into the draft prep, but I would think one of those tight ends would make a lot of sense for the Giants.
If the kid from Notre Dame is there,
Dalton Kincaid,
Mayer, right, is his name.
I thought Michael Mayer looked like he was going to be Rob Gronkowski's freshman year.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame. In the times I saw him this year, he looked like he was about 100 years old. So I know he was probably playing through injuries and stuff, but he just didn't move as fluidly the times I saw him play this year. And a lot of the draft gurus think that the Utah tight end is actually a better prospect than him now. So maybe they saw some of the same things that I did this past season.
Last team, the Commanders. You mentioned them earlier as a Lamar team. Would you say they're closer to the playoffs or to nearing to tear it down and rebuild? Because how you answer that question, I would think, would impact how you would approach finding a quarterback this offseason.
No, I think that they should want to get a quarterback in there to win. The only thing that would, you know, like let's say you actually had a stable organization and not an owner who was a complete nitwit, and you had like the sale of the team pending and everything else that's like distracting you from just focusing on the football stuff in Washington as like the team builder, I would be affected by what happened last season with the veteran quarterbacks that went for steep prices to other teams. Like that would mess me up and make me think that like bringing in somebody, a veteran on a short-term contract for a lot of money is a bad idea. It's not going to work, and would make me maybe more inclined to try to get to a position where I could take one of the young quarterbacks in this draft. But I think that their overall roster, they showed it last year that if they have a halfway decent quarterback in the NFC, they're good enough to win 10 games. So
I agree. You know, they decided to bring back Daron Payne when they already have Sweat and Chase Young. And they've got three good receivers. Dotson really impressed me. And we know McLaurin's great. Like, they're pretty good at a couple of, like, premium areas of team building. Skill position on offense and pass rush and defensive line.
Right. So my question for you is, if you're Aaron Rodgers, like, and you're the Commanders, why is that something that, like, I've never even seen any, like, single second of airtime or ink spilled on him going there?
Because you haven't seen an NFC team. I think
so. That's just because Green Bay. I thought we're getting to the point where, like, now you hear, oh, all Green Bay wants to do is get rid of the guy.
Well, I mean, we have heard that, but that has not come in conjunction with any reporting that San Francisco or Atlanta or Carolina is in on it. It has always been Vegas,
the Jets, and Raiders,
or New York. Yeah, so I assume that that prevailing logic is still there.
But don't you feel like Rodgers has the leverage because he can just say, "I'll retire,"
but nobody believes him. You're going to give $60 million?
Right.
No one believes him on that.
But what if he says, I'll just come back and play for you guys then? Which I don't think they want either.
Well, so that's the question. Would they rather have him on the Packers or on an NFC team?
What's your answer?
I mean, if I'm them, I would say on the Packers.
I know, but I feel like that's not
their answer.
Right.
You know, my answer is Aaron Rodgers, with his head on straight, is still a top five or six quarterback in football. I think that's becoming more and more of a minority opinion, but He had awesome moments this year. He had plenty of bad ones, but I don't believe you go from back-to-back league MVP to horrible. But yeah, man,
I really did watching him in the more and more last season has gone into the like rearview mirror as it's like fallen out of sight for me. The more I've tried talking myself into the fact that if he gets a fresh start somewhere, he's going to be really good next year. But I know that when he inevitably has bad games or sucks in his next with his next team, I'm going to be like, you son of a bitch. You watched him in 2022 and he sucked. Why did you spend so much time referencing things from 3 or 4 years ago, which is what you're doing? And that's what it's rubbing off on me because I'm doing the same shit, man.
Two and three years ago.
Okay.
And he lost Devontae Adams. There were plenty of reasons for Rodgers to take a step back this past year. Now, here's the thing. I think it's very valid to say, is Aaron Rodgers going to do the soft factor teammate thing that you need to do to like get on the same page with a whole new offense and a whole new group of skill position players? Is he bringing, you know, Terry McLaurin and Dotson, is he bringing them out to his house and running routes on the beach?
Because he wants to drink ayahuasca and all that bullshit, right? I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like you know, like there was the reporting on like the Christian Watson and those and the receivers in Green Bay, like never hung out with him and they didn't know his hand signals until like week 10. Like, and he was just being real hard on him. Like, he was like, get on my level. But he's like, hey, man, can you help me get on your level? And he was like, nah, I'm doing other things. I'm going on McAfee's show and reading books. Like, you know, it's just he's a weird dude. Brady likes to hang, right? Brady likes the locker room. That's Brady's thing. He's the friendly superstar. So he went down to Tampa and Antonio Brown lived in his damn guest house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he did everything he could to hit the ground running in Tampa. Is Aaron Rodgers going to do that in New York or Vegas or Washington or Carolina, wherever? Like, I don't know. I think that's a totally fair question, but I think that the physical talent is still very, very, very high end. But I think his level of commitment to football is waning by the year and it's showing. I think that as much as anything else is what happens there, but I think he's a Jet. I don't think you get, you know, you put on the tux, you get the corsage, the limo comes up and you don't go to the dance. Like I think he's a Jet.
Yeah. But if you're a man that has a backbone and scruples and all these things, then the Jets are the last team you'd want to go to because of who owns them. All right, man, we'll do West Division.
Yeah. All right.
Well, are we going to do West Division or are we just going to do, I'm guessing the next 2 weeks will just be free agency stuff, right? And we'll get back to divisions later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Free agency preview, free agency reaction. And then we'll probably get back to the AFC and NFC West in 2 weeks.
Cool, man.
All right. Thank you, Spencer Ray. Subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.